Not Quite Right features discussions that are unfiltered and uncensored and may include themes that are inappropriate for younger listeners. Also, I swear a lot.
Something doesn't seem quite right.
Welcome to Not Quite Right. My name is Ed. And this is the third of a series of interviews that Amanda and I recorded at the Words on the Waves Writers Festival this year. This time, we're speaking with Blanche Delpuget. Blanche is an award-winning biographer and author of fiction, and she was at Words on the Waves to talk about her latest book, The Bunny Club, which is a racy murder mystery involving high-profile personalities and male escorts. Many of you will recognise Blanche as the wife of former Prime Minister Bob Hawke, but not me apparently, as you'll soon hear when I plant my foot in my mouth and deeply embarrass myself. Sorry, Blanche. So please enjoy my little gaffe and our discussion with Blanche Delpuget. So we're here at Words on the Waves with Blanche Delpuget. Hello, Blanche.
Hello, Ed.
So tell us what brings you to our little corner of the world here.
An invitation, which I'm delighted that I accepted. It's a lovely festival. You've got great speakers. And I must say, I've been incredibly impressed by your volunteers. A really good feeling of community up here and a lot of community interest. And I might say a fairly divine setting.
Yeah, it's beautiful here and it is a lovely team. So most people will know you from being Bob Hawke's husband.
Well, I was his wife, actually. But never mind.
You know what I'm trying to say.
I do.
Yes. But before that and after that, you've obviously had quite a career in writing and you're here to talk about your book, The Bunny Club. So tell us about the book.
Well, it's a complete departure from everything I'd written before because it's a murder mystery. And before what I've written is fiction and non-fiction and essays. And I had a long break when I was married to Bob when I wasn't writing. And then I wrote a series of historical novels which didn't do at all well in terms of sales in Australia, but they're being looked at in Hollywood, so maybe the Hollywood's falling to pieces. Anyway, so this book is crime fiction, which I'd never done before, and I wanted a new challenge, and that's why I went for it.
So your book, The Bunny Club, I understand it's a little bit spicy too, is that right?
It's raunchy.
Ooh, tell us about that.
Well, I just wanted to write that.
The reason I bring it up is because we actually run writing competitions and we're running one now, which is we call Flesh Fiction.
Oh.
It's erotic writing competition. So we're particularly interested in that. But yeah, good fun.
Yes, it was good fun.
But how does that fit into the murder mystery aspect? I mean, I guess we don't typically see, we've obviously got romance and erotica that go hand in hand, you might say, but it's not so common to see crime fiction and raunchy side stories, I guess.
Well, the victim in this book is a woman and a high-profile media woman, and the main suspect is a male escort.
Okay.
Whom she's been seeing romantically, and she believes it's a great love affair and blah, blah, blah. And of course, it's not.
Mm.
And so that's where the erotic element comes in.
Mm.
His life.
Okay.
As a male escort. Yes.
Okay. So why the change into crime fiction? And I don't want to call it erotica. It's kind of a spicy crime fiction.
I've always had a lot of sex in all my novels, but the crime fiction was just because I wanted a new challenge. And it's very different from writing a regular novel. And it's more complicated, I might say. There are things you've got to fit in and you've got to keep the reader in the dark while dropping a series of breadcrumbs and then a whole series of red herrings.
Mm.
So that's complex. And I think one of the reasons a lot of crime fiction doesn't have much development of characters because they're working so hard on the plot and the narrative. But I think because I came from a novel writing background, I'm very interested in characters, so I've put a lot of character into the book.
Yeah, it is very technical and plot-based, I would imagine. How did you come at that? Did you do any reading about the process?
I was extremely lucky. I had a very good friend who was a former detective.
Yeah, great.
And so I went to him all the time for information. I spent hours talking to him.
Yeah, so that's on the like the police procedural side of things,
yes.
I guess.
Yes, and I also had friends who are lawyers, and then I asked them all these technical questions about what happens with arrests and etc.
No, that's interesting. But also, what about from the novel writing aspect of it? So obviously, you've got experience writing novels, but it is a maybe specialised area of novel writing. Did you?
It is a specialised area.
Did you have any mentors or any books that you kind of absorbed to help you with that side of the process?
No.
Just life. Life is your teacher.
Life was my teacher, and I started writing this the way I started first writing, which was a novel, which is now being republished 50 years later, published in Indonesia. It was set in Indonesia. I'm very proud of that, that they're recognising they've sort of turned it into a classic in Indonesia. So I ended up doing 7 drafts of this book because I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
That's very reassuring to me. I'm in draft mode myself, so it's nice to know that you did get there in the end.
Well, with the first novel, it had 12 drafts.
Okay.
If that's any encouragement.
Yes, all right, it is. Yes, I think to many writers it is, for sure.
Yeah.
And you
must writing
be,
is hard work.
It's hard work, and you must be driven to get through 12 drafts, you know, and still keep at it and not just, I guess, get too frustrated. And
well, it's not driven so much. Well, I guess psychologically it is driven. It feels like motivation.
Okay.
You
just
highly motivated, compelled to do it, just mad about it.
I think that's probably a shared experience for many writers, is just, why are we doing it? We don't actually have a logical reason. We just must.
We just must. There's no money in it. There's no recognition, not for a long time,
yes.
Maybe never, but we have to do it.
Yeah,
yes.
You're lucky to get recognition in your lifetime. You're saying your book's been made a classic. I doubt there's many people who could say that in their lifetime, you know. That's really cool.
And so, I mean, it sounds like the challenge of doing something new was a motivating factor in this case as well.
Like, oh, yes. I'm of an adventurous nature.
Yeah. Is it something you do again, or is this kind of one and done in terms of the crime genre? Are you looking at something new, or is this like your little niche now that you've kind of found?
Well, Anne, I'm looking at doing a sequel to this book. Reusing the 2 detectives because I like them very much, and then using 3 of the characters I haven't particularly developed them. I've particularly developed one of them as characters in the next book, but I can't decide which one I'm going to murder.
Too many choices there for you.
Too many choices, yes.
You could murder them all. Have you considered that?
Oh, well, that's possible too.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Game of Thrones.
Oh, and that old classic Agatha Christie, and then there were none.
Mm. Yes. Of course, actually, in fact, I just went to see
the play.
Yeah,
yes.
That was really wonderful. A modern setting, like the set design, I should say, was really cool.
It was. It looked terrific.
Yeah, it did. So you're saying you're talking with Hollywood now as well. So is there anything you can share with us about that?
Oh, no. Look, it takes forever because so much money is involved. And in fact, everything's changing because of AI, and it is going to make making movies much, much cheaper.
Yeah, eventually.
Well, not eventually, pretty quickly.
You think
this
so?
New Google AI suite is extraordinary. My son, who is a sculptor, is right across this, and he keeps on sending me videos, and you honestly cannot tell that they're not humans.
Yeah, they are getting very, very, very realistic now.
Yes.
I've seen the new Google one, especially that you mentioned, is really realistic. But still, I mean, taking that from just the couple of minutes to write to a fully-fledged TV show.
I can see other applications. Like, imagine you film a scene and there's just an issue with that scene, whatever it might be. And in normal circumstances, you might have to reshoot the whole scene. And obviously, there's a lot of cost involved with that. But if you can just edit out the little issue without too much trouble, then I think that's going to be an option that most directors would take. So lots of applications for AI. It's in everything, isn't it?
No applications at all for them in doing narratives. Absolutely.
She's scared.
Stay out of our territory.
Slashing her wrists.
Well, that's something that we talk about a lot as well, you know, from the writing perspective, is that it's kind of a shadow looming over everything at the moment.
It is. And, of course, having all of our work stolen.
Yeah.
All our IP stolen, no redress.
And have you seen a direct consequence of that for yourself?
Well, I think it's just more generally.
Mm.
And one really doesn't know yet what's happening, though, because nobody's admitting that this whole book was written by an AI.
Mm.
Yeah.
From material stolen from tens of thousands of writers.
Mm-hmm. So what is the implication that you're saying? You're thinking that that's permeating through Hollywood at the moment, and the discussions you're having, that's also looming in the background?
Well, everything's in flux.
Mm.
Like the whole world, actually, at the moment. The whole world is in flux. We're moving from an old, established world that we knew into a new world that we honestly don't know.
Ooh.
And we're in this very difficult transitional period, very confusing transitional period.
And it's hard to say what's going to be valued as well, because, I mean, when we talk about narratives and writers, I think that's still very much valued, because it's something that AI can write, but it can't write a compelling, like, erotic murder mystery novel yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we don't know. That really is an unknown. And time will tell with that.
But as we talked about before, like, it's not going to stop us, is it?
Yeah.
For writers.
No, we're still going to go ahead.
Keep bashing our heads against that brick wall. But, you know, I think in particular something like crime fiction, where so much of it is that idea and that spark of the idea that's compelling to the writer, but then
yes,
hopefully to the reader as well. You can't get that out of a machine. That's got to come from the human brain, right?
But don't forget, AI is stolen.
Yes, that's true.
So many human brains.
And we can't read every book either, so we don't know if we might encounter something for the first time thinking it's original when, of course, it's not.
Yeah. But I hope our imagination does keep us ahead of the machinery.
Well, it's a very compelling idea, and I think just hearing about the Bunny Club, which is a great name, by the way,
yeah,
as well, it sounds like it could be a great premise, a great idea for a TV show, especially if you expand it into a few novels.
Yes. Well, a number of people, including filmmakers, but he doesn't make that sort of movie, has already said to me, oh, this is dead set for a movie. I hope so.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that something that you consciously think of while you're writing as well?
No.
Like, you imagine the characters and how that would play out on a screen? Or
no, I can just see the characters sort of almost as I can see you across this table.
I don't
imagine that at all.
I'm just wondering, do you come up with your own titles? Because I was looking through some of your other titles as well. They're fabulous, like the Monkeys in the Dark. It's just these really compelling ideas. So are they all from your own brain?
All my own.
Yeah.
With the exception of what's my best known book, we ended up calling it Robert J. Hawke, a biography, because that fitted. The typeface fitted on the title page, because I'd wanted to call it Bob Hawke, a biography. So
interesting.
But every other book has been my title.
And, I mean, that would be an interesting experience as well, writing a biography for someone very close to you. I mean, we typically imagine biographies to be written by someone maybe a little bit more distant. So,
and when the person there.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
I'm interested in that too. Obviously, you have a huge amount of experience in nonfiction writing. So do you find your process is sort of similar, or is it a whole different ballgame when you're working with these different genres?
Well, I've always liked research. So obviously for a biography, there's an enormous amount of research, talking to family, talking to friends, blah, blah, blah. But for this novel, and for all my novels, I've had research too, but there's been more in this crime fiction novel, because I didn't know anything about male escorts, for example, or detective work. And the interesting thing was, I showed to friends drafts of the book without revealing who was the murderer, and the one person who picked straight off who it was one of the detectives. So they think differently from us.
Seeing the clues, I love it.
Amazing. Well, that was very interesting. Thanks for talking to this. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about or raise or let people know about?
just that I hope this festival continues and continues to prosper. It's been growing over the last 5 years, and this year 5,000 people, and let's hope next year 10,000 people.
Why not?
Yeah, well, we've been coming here for 3 years now, so it's great to see it grow. And we don't see much of this kind of thing on the Central Coast. So
that's good. And your prices are very reasonable. I hope you can keep the prices reasonable. In Sydney, they're getting mad.
And you want to include everyone, right? It's such a beautiful thing to be able to share this love of words together. So.
Yeah. It's been great talking to you guys. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of the Not Quite Right podcast in collaboration with Words on the Waves Writers Festival. Check the show notes for more information about Words on the Waves and the books mentioned in this episode. If you're new to the podcast, please join us again for our regular episodes where we talk about media, culture, and the art of writing.
Something doesn't seem quite right.